This episode is brought to you by Pure Gym. A new season's right round the corner, and with Pure Gym, you'll be ready to take it on. Whether you're there to tone up, tune out, or just take some weight off your shoulders. With low monthly prices, no contract, plus top quality kit and unlimited classes included, whatever you need, Pure Gym is there for it. Head to puregym.com to find out more.
This is the place where sports opinions collide. Dead in Sports, I'm your host, Kenneth B. And joining me on the show, we have Gunner's number one fan, FIFO, Shelton, and Spike. What up?
What's happening?
Chilling.
You didn't say Nick. That's Gunner's number one fan. Oh, okay, gotcha. That's why you didn't say his name.
All right, come on, bro. He over here ruined a good joke.
I wanted to make sure that they knew it wasn't me because my name was too close to that.
What up, Q? Q. I see Q pop up.
Another dumb fan.
But yeah. Anyway, man, we're here to talk about some sports, man. And we have our top five defensive tackles and edge rushers. So we are continuing our annual NFL position, no rankings. So got a packed show for you guys today or tonight. So anyway, man, we want to go ahead and kick this thing off and talk about the best performance of the week. And I got Kayla Williams.
Let's go.
No, let's not go. No. Hold on. Slow down.
This is not the worst.
It is not the worst, but it's the best for different reasons. Okay. It's not the performance of what he did on the court. None of that shit. I mean, on the field, it doesn't matter. It's preseason. He wasn't really playing against shit. A lot of shit was vanilla. It don't really mean shit. But I have been seeing a lot of negative press about Kayla Williams, him struggling to pick up the offense with Ben Johnson. And they've been really, really, like, dogging this guy. And for him to go out and at least show something. Like, because I think there was a lot of the way they were talking, it was going to be extremely negative. So I think that for him to show some sort of mental resolve, I suppose, to get out there and work to try to pick it up, I think is – I don't want to say admirable to a certain degree because you're the number one damn pick. But, you know, it shows that he's not resting on his laurels, that he's willing to learn and grow and try to get better, you know, and not think that he's the shit, you know, because, you know, you're the number one pick. Everybody's ranting and raving about you. All that stuff don't mean anything until you step on the court, on the football field. And you got to show and prove. So you got a guy in there that we've seen do it. And I don't know if Ben Johnson's expectations were different because he came from Jared Goff, who's a veteran quarterback, and now you got this guy in his second year who has to institute and learn a whole new offense. I don't know what the disconnect was, but nevertheless, you know, I don't know what the hell was going to be on that football field when he got on there with the way they were talking. And I think the jury's still out. I still don't know how this shit's going to look by week 4, 8, 9, 15. But nevertheless, he didn't look as awful as I thought he was going to look based on the things that they were saying about him. And we ain't got a lot to pick from. So I'm going to give it to Caleb, man.
It's okay. A couple things. Number one, there's a reason why he didn't play the first week of the preseason. And a lot of it had to do with Ben Johnson and that offense. Ben Johnson has come out and said that we wanted to throw the whole kitchen sink at him and see what stuck with him. He knew that Caleb wasn't going to be able to pick it up because Caleb never ran a sophisticated offense like that. You know what I'm saying? So that was the expectation, was for him to – figure out what it is that works, right? And they obviously they figured that out. And what you saw, and I agree, obviously it's preseason. The defense isn't running anything exotic. It's a lot of base stuff that you're seeing. They did play against the ones, you know what I'm saying, defensively, the majority of them. But what we saw, Ken, is somebody that was playing on time and on rhythm. And what we know from a Ben Johnson offense, that's what you want. And I think my biggest takeaway was the Bears got weapons, bro. Colston Loveland, the tight ends that they just drafted in the first round, he's a guy. Luther Burden, the fourth wide receiver that they got, like he can make plays. The first two wide receivers that they got and the slot, they can all make plays. So, and the other big takeaway was Caleb had a clean pocket. even in preseason last year, we knew that that O-line was an issue. So they shored that up. Ken, I'm not too high, but if they continue to progress, it's going to be a good division, that NFC North.
Well, we've heard FIFO's take, but let's hop into it. Quarter one, man, Caleb Williams and the Chicago Bears had an impressive showcase of their new team and offense in Sunday night's preseason matchup against the Buffalo Bills at home in Chicago, winning 38-0. With high expectations coming into this season, who will receive the most praise if the team has a successful season, and who will face the most criticism if they do not?
Ben Johnson is going to get the most praise if they have a good season. If they have a bad season, the praises, well, the criticism will go towards Caleb Williams.
I agree, Luke.
That's how it's going to happen this season. Like, because they think Ben Johnson
is that is fair? The,
yeah.
Well, yes. well, Nick, it's not necessarily fair because we don't know how it's going to play out. But regardless, it may not be fair because we don't know how, like I said, we don't know what's going to happen. But regardless, that's how it's going to be. You're right, Luke.
It all depends.
And my bad, Q, go ahead.
No, I was just saying, this all depends on the style of losing and winning. Like, everything in the NFL is not just about wins and losses. It's about how you win. It's about how you lose that allows context. People to – yeah, you got to have context to commentate.
But over a season of time, we know what something is and what something isn't.
But right? The thing is, though, is that for me, I believe that Caleb Williams is closer to Trevor Lawrence than he's closer to Lamar Jackson or whatever, right? So I think that ultimately – I'm kind of dug in on where I see his career going. He's going to have to prove me wrong. But it all just depends on, is Caleb throwing mad interceptions or does the team look right. like garbage? You know what I'm saying? Like, does Caleb look lost? No, for real, Nick. Does Caleb look lost as a player or does the team look like they don't even know how to line up properly? There's infighting in the locker room because then that's a leadership thing. And I think that that's when Chicago media starts tearing coaches apart. And they're not, you know, foreign to doing that. But they're also not foreign to being like, Justin Fields can't get the playbook down. Justin Fields don't know how to throw. They will throw their quarterback or their coach under the bus. And depending on how they lose these games, if they're going to lose, if they have a great season, I think that they kind of get dual praise here. But Ben Johnson gets a little bit more. But if they look like shit, it's just a matter of who looks the worst. Is it the team play or is it just Caleb?
Hold on real quick, Nick. There's a couple things, though, that I agree and disagree with you. I think that Ben is definitely going to get the praise because we saw what it looked like last year. And in the context of it, that they were not structured, number one. Number two, clock management was horrible, and that's a coaching thing. We knew that the coach was Matt Eberflus was the biggest question mark in the thing. We all knew that Caleb had some level of talent, you know what I'm saying? Whether it was going to be realized or not, that was on coaching. This year, they shored up the O-line, they got even more weapons, and now they have a guy that we know is structured and is super creative, arguably the most creative play caller. You know what I'm saying? Not that that wasn't a head coach last year. So at the end of the day, if they do look good, right, and it's not Caleb throwing crazy wild passes and stuff like that, but, you know, wide receiver bobbled it and it was an interception, just like we saw with Lamar Jackson last year. Lamar had, like, what, 5 interceptions total and, like, 4 of them was his fault. You know what I'm saying? So if that's the context, then Ben still gets the praise. I think – again, to one of your points, I think it could be a bit shared, but I think Ben gets the majority of the praise because he's the biggest difference from this year to last year.
Lou, I interrupted you. Well, you got interrupted a long time ago, but you can go and finish your point before I go and say my shit.
No, go ahead. I forgot what I was
saying. My thing is, bro, Sheldon, when can we start judging quarterbacks? You know what I'm saying? Do we got to wait till the whole room is renovated? And we got love seats and lazy boys and we got a Basquiat on the wall. Is that when we can judge them? Or do we judge them based off the situation of being the number one overall pick means that you go into a shitball organization 9 times out of 10. Sometimes you get lucky. And you're there to turn it around, especially at the quarterback position. So to me, even though a lot of this season to me is based off of what Ben Johnson do for better or for worse, This is where the clock starts for Caleb Williams. We can excuse 1 year. We did the same thing with Trevor Lawrence. But once you're in year two, bro, this is where we start counting these games. And I think Caleb's more like Jared Goff than anything. So I think that's why I think this is a good transition for him potentially.
Nick, God, what you be watching? Bro, I need to send you my glasses, dog, because you blind as hell.
How is he like Jared Goff?
Sheldon, what do they call me on this show? The QB, what do they call me? The QB Whisperer.
They don't.
Not at all.
You got to talk to them.
That's what you call yourself.
You got to talk to them, bro.
That's what she said. How is he like Jared
Goff? I'm saying he's like Jared Goff in the sense of I don't know, Q, you may be on. I don't know if you're on the same side with me on this.
I think he's Trevor Lawrence more than.
I think he's more Jared Goff as far as like he can help make your system look really, really good, but he can't do anything without a system, if that makes sense.
I think he's not a
quarterback to me that I'm like, go win me the game based off of being you. To me, he's more like, go win me the game based off of execution.
I think
I think he's a more talented version of Jared Goff, which is why I think Ben Johnson is really happy to be with him because he can sign like I can.
Hey Nick, you need the week off, boy. You need the week off.
I get durag off. The durag too tight.
So what happens is Caleb Williams is
an improviser. And Ben Johnson has a system.
Hey, Sean, where'd that get him?
Nowhere thus far.
Matt Eberflus is the worst coach in the league last year. You know who's a better head coach that I know you would say for sure
will be?
What?
Is Lincoln Riley better than Matt Eberflus as a head coach?
Probably, yes.
What did he do last year in college, Phil?
He still pull up numbers though. But at the end of the day, Nick, the Bears were the worst offensive team in the whole NFL. Do you understand that they did not score a touchdown on opening drives the whole year? So the first possession that they get, they never scored a touchdown. That is Matt Eberflus all the way.
Just in case you didn't know what that meant, Nick.
Yeah, exactly. Right. And after I've already said that we've excused this first year, my point was this. You were talking about why bring up college because his last year in college was not that good, and his first year in the NFL was not that good. So
his last year in college was perfectly acceptable.
So
Patrick Mahomes last year in college,
okay,
he did what he was supposed to do. He had as much control over the other positions as he would in the NFL team
as a full time starter.
He wasn't gonna win a championship with USC, just like Mahomes wasn't gonna win a championship with Texas Tech. The difference in what you're saying and what actually happened is he is an improviser, and Ben Johnson has a real strict. He is. That's what he's best at. When he gets outside the pocket, he start making plays.
He's not a system
quarterback.
Yeah,
we don't know that in the NFL.
Yeah, we do know that, Nick.
No, we don't.
Yeah, we do. Look. I'll put it to you like this.
What
Mahomes is an improviser in a system. Right. What's the head coach?
Andy Reid.
Andy Reid has a system, but we've seen Andy Reid's system with other improviser quarterbacks. Donovan McNabb. I need you to play like this. If it breaks down, do what you do, and then it's great. That's exactly what Caleb Williams is. We need you to play within the confines, and when it breaks down, do what you do.
What are you talking about? This is what I mean by saying that he's not an improviser. I'm not saying that he doesn't look like he can improvise because clearly he has the skill and talent to do that. I'm saying it has not been successful. Just because you can do something. Because
he had a bad coach.
Thank you. And that's why I said there's not structure there.
Y'all missing my whole point. That's why I said we excuse
the rookie. Choose your words more carefully.
Because y'all not listening. Excuse the first year. How many times have I said that? I said, even though I think this is a big year for Ben Johnson, I can understand why people think this is a big year for Caleb, because it's like, how long are we waiting to say like, okay, now he's finally ready to be judged? It's like we don't do that for nobody else. We ain't give nobody else that time.
We do it for everybody. We still doing it for Trevor Lawrence.
Did we do that for Bryce? Did we do that for Bryce Young?
They did it for Herbert.
We did do it for Bryce Young.
Bryce Young was talking about getting traded.
I mean, but I
still, and now he's in a good spot.
We hung tough with Tua. We hung tough with all these QBs. I will say is that we're at a point in NFL and really just sports in general where if you don't flash within your first 2 years, the odds are is that you won't be a generational talent or you won't be a superstar. Exactly. But it's not that we can't find outliers or there is not some level of
But them outliers ain't number one overall picker.
I understand that for sure. I understand that. And that's why I keep saying from what I've seen, I see more Trevor Lawrence from him in Caleb Williams than I see in being a Joe Burrow type.
What does that mean to you?
To me, what that means is I don't see generational talent. I see a solid quarterback. I see a solid QB. I don't really see anything.
That's why I said Jared Goff.
Trevor Lawrence had a good coach like we think Ben Johnson is, though? He's never had a good coach.
He had a Super Bowl winning coach.
I don't know. I'm between Nick and FIFO in terms of these takes. Cause it's like I feel Nick and I feel FIFO on he's flashed some good stuff. And I also feel Nick on the sense of bro, we gotta call a spade a spade. I'm at the point where with Caleb Williams, he's gonna have to prove me wrong, and I'll gladly say I'm wrong. But I believe from what I've seen. I don't like his attitude. I don't like the personality for the quarterback position. And I just think he gets happy feet too much. And I'm hoping that if I'm going on FIFO's take, that Ben Johnson brings more structure and brings more of a, yo, look at the first read. The first read ain't there. I got a safety spot for you with the tight end, or I got this soft spot in the zone that we're going to find for you the same way that Jared Goff was able to do that with LaPorta and those people last year. But the issue is can Caleb remain calm? And I don't know if he can do that. That's why I said Trevor Lawrence. So that's just me.
You don't see the dog in him, huh?
I don't see no dog.
He got talent.
All that crying on the sideline and shit with his mom, like that shit do something to me, bro. That really means something.
It did.
And that's why I don't understand. Lou or FIFO. FIFO over here contemplating about hitting motherfuckers at 35 plus just for the gimme.
I was not 35, and I played quarterback. I wasn't hitting nobody, my boy.
And he don't understand the dog in somebody, but then he gonna tell me like this nigga just because Caleb Williams run around in a circle three times before he throw a football, he's supposed to be a death-defying quarterback. I ain't seen shit yet.
I'm wondering what quarterback.
Tell me the last time he done something for me to say that's some good shit.
I'm wondering what quarterbacks of his generation that you do see dog in. Is it CJ Stroud? Is it Jordan Love?
CJ Stroud is definitely one.
The top three, you already know the elite ones, right? Burrow,
Jaden Daniels.
Those dudes have hearts, and y'all think that Caleb Williams.
I didn't say he don't have a heart. I just said he got to prove it to me.
It looks a little different, right?
They proved it to you.
Yeah,
like Jalen
Hurts. Why are you asking these questions? Yes, nigga.
Jalen Hurts is proving to you he got heart.
Yes.
What?
Okay. And what's my guy from Houston name?
CJ Stroud.
Bro, even Dak Prescott.
And Jordan Love.
Yes.
Dak Prescott has proven to me that he has heart, bro.
Every one of the ones you named have stepped up in big moments. You saw Jordan Love step up and dog your Cowboys in the playoff game. CJ Stroud win a playoff game. You seen Jalen Hurts go to the Super Bowl twice. Those guys that you named all have heart, and they have more heart than they do talent even. So, you know, that's something.
That's what I'm saying. I'm not trying to hear all this foo-foo shit when y'all talking about some, we got to wait and see. You know?
All them guys got structure because that was the worst team in the league, and the Bears were one of the worst teams. They weren't the worst. It was the Panthers, but either way, because of the trade, that's how they got the number one pick. But all of those other guys that you talked about, especially Jalen Hurts, structure. We're talking about CJ Stroud. Yeah, he had a rookie head coach, but the rookie head coach had structure, even though he was the defensive head coach. Right, he's on the defensive side of the ball, but they brought structure. This is how we are going to be good. And hold on, okay, I'm gonna get to you. the same way that I put in the chat. Like, y'all niggas didn't believe in Dan Campbell, but what Dan Campbell gave y'all was structure and rah-rah. Y'all didn't like the rah-rah, but I saw the structure with it. What Ben Johnson is bringing to Chicago is structure. He's holding Caleb at a high regard. Hey, this is how we play quarterback. And here's the thing, right? It's about the details. Ben Johnson talked to him about, Q, what you were just talking about. Your body language, bro. All of that shit matters when you are the starting quarterback, when you're the number one quarterback. Right. Ben Johnson's going to hold him to that standard because he has the talent, and then we're going to see Ben Johnson extrapolate it. Now, I'm not saying that he's going to become Mahomes. I'm not saying that, but I know that Ben Johnson is going to be better for Caleb Williams than Matt Eberflus. And you wanted a situation where he flashed. I don't know what you was doing for Thanksgiving, but I was watching the Bears and the Lions. And Caleb Williams had a lot of good plays. That game was lost on coaching. That game wasn't lost on a rookie
quarterback. That was also lost on him, too.
That was lost on the coaching, not calling the timeout. How are you putting that much pressure on a rookie quarterback, bro?
Because when I said my boy Jaden Daniels go far and take off, what he do, Spivo? He took off.
He had better offense.
No, he had a better offense in mind.
That was a good game. The issue is that, once again, going back to more of Nick's side, is that we do see in certain situations where guys don't have that much structure. They might have a coach that brings a little bit more identity or hierarchy, but the structure in terms of like your day in and day out duties and objectives that coaches bring and keep you in line with how to run your position, how to actually do your job. There's certain coaches that do that very well. And there's certain coaches to me, like Dan Campbell, who bring identity and hierarchy of like belief, like, you know what I mean? Like, we actually believe in the concept of what this team is. It's never say die. We are going to be accountable to each other. But there are certain coaches like Andy Reid that bring structure. Like, this is how we're going to play situational football. This is how we play defense. This is how we play offense, 2-minute drill, 3-minute drill, whatever it is. And the issue for me, when I look at Caleb Williams in comparison, Jaden Daniels in Washington, I don't think people look at Dan Quinn. I don't think people were looking at him like he was going to be this major success in Washington.
Or Cliff Kingsbury.
Jaden Daniels made them look better. C.J. Stroud, let's all remember, people thought C.J. Stroud was not going to be who he was the first couple games. And D'Amico Ryans, people thought that they reached with that hire. And then you see what happened there. Jalen Hurts, the same thing. Dak Prescott, the same thing. But yet all these quarterbacks, even fucking Brock Purdy, I mean, and I get he has Shanahan, so maybe we'll disqualify him. But in some level or not, there's been quarterbacks around the league who've been drafted in the first round who have elevated situations that were either in limbo or were question marks, and they've gone on to become top 10, unquestioned top 5 for certain guys. So I think that Caleb Williams is being subject to proper criticism here. And I don't think you're wrong either way right now, because it's just in limbo and we got to see.
And my biggest fault with Caleb Williams is...
Oh, my bad. Go ahead. I was going to say, Ken got to get his point.
No, he do. Shelton can go, because Shelton hasn't been saying anything.
I'm going to go quick, Ken. But my biggest fault with him is that he, unlike most first picks, he was blessed with the most talent around him. And it wasn't just regular talent. It was veteran leadership talent as well. So he came into a situation that was ready-made for success for a number one pick with the amount of talent that he has. Now, he could have had a better coach. We know that for certain. But it is what it is. And this year, he is under the microscope.
Yeah, my thing, when I was reading the articles, it really comes down to, it's not about talent, it's about attitude. And would he be open to the criticisms and the toughness that Ben Johnson was bringing? And that was my biggest concern, based on the things that I was reading. And will he accept it? Because if he doesn't, then he's going to be out of there. So, so far it seemed like at first he wasn't, if I'm reading in between the lines, but it seemed like he's starting to come around and realize that he ain't really done anything in this league, and he ain't really nobody in this league. You're only somebody if you win, you know, and you can be. I mean, Brock Purdy turned into a guy, you know, of all people. So you know, because he had the one thing you guys were talking about, a system and a structure and pieces around him that was able to make him successful. You know, we've seen what happened with Brady, you know, when he came into the league as a sixth round pick. So, and we've seen plenty of first round picks fail, you know, with all of the talent that they have. So talent don't really mean much of anything. It's all about what you do with it when you get on that football field. And if you think he's the hot shit, he'll be out of there. He'll be out of there in no time.
And my thing is, I'm giving the brother some time, so I don't know why people say I'm trying to be a hater or not, because I'm saying this is Ben Johnson here. Who the fuck is Ben Johnson? If FIFA was over here trying to give out some rah-rah points about Ben Johnson, I'm like, nigga, I ain't never seen him be a head coach. Shit, the way D'Amico Ryan's at least was in the damn Super Bowl before he became head coach. That nigga gambled his goofy ass away out of a Super Bowl. Ben Johnson, I'm on watch for him. Permanent for all season. You might as well put first that for year? Weekend. Because a lot of people putting on watch for Caleb this year too. I'm putting the same thing on that head coach.
It speaks a lot more to Caleb.
No, it does not. Because then we can just chalk that up his quarterback. Because we could chalk.
They can always fall back on that.
Not as much talent.
Exactly. He took the job because Caleb was there.
Exactly.
He knew Caleb was there. He can't do that. And he knew Caleb was going to be there.
Exactly.
He can go into that front office. That's why I don't fuck with Sean Payton. If Caleb struggles, he can go into that front office after this year and say, this is not the dude.
Spike.
That's why I don't fuck with Sean Payton, because he did that same bullshit to Russell Wilson.
He can.
So Russell Wilson is not the guy.
He can.
Russell Nix is better than Russell Wilson.
He's still employed at that place. They listen to him. They got more faith in him as a coaching hire than they do in Caleb Williams as a quarterback hire.
Hold on, Sean. FIFO, where did Sean Payton and Mike Tomlin's season end? Was that in the first round?
What does that matter?
The Broncos have been trash.
And let's not
y'all
forget
about to argue about something that don't even matter. I want to address Spike, because Spike, you don't think when he interviewed that job, the GM and the hiring managers, whomever they are, sat down and talked to him about Caleb Williams and whether or not he would be the guy for him? You don't think that conversation took place?
I think that happened, and I think that he had enough leverage to say, yeah, that's cool, but if I do this first season and he ain't doing what I need him to do, it might be him. I think that they're going to give him a lot more leverage than they're going to give to Caleb Williams.
Right? Yeah, because it's a new ownership group. No. It's a new ownership group, too. And when you have a new ownership group, bro, everybody can go, because that head coach is not married to that quarterback.
They can't afford it. That's the problem.
They cannot afford to let Caleb go. I can draft a quarterback next year.
No, you can't. All right. So it's just so easy to go draft a quarterback.
Thank you.
It's just so damn easy to go draft a quarterback.
They suck.
Cardinals did it.
If they suck and they say it's because of Caleb Williams, they're going to draft a quarterback in a draft this year coming up that has a lot of good quarterbacks. They're going to say, okay, let's take a new quarterback.
There's going to be two quarterbacks coming out of this.
Hold on. All right, for one, them drafting would not make sense, because I mean they have blown two first-round picks, because Justin Fields was a first – and they gave
that
away
– Johnson fault.
And they gave away a first round pick. That's three first round picks of quarterbacks that has been blown away.
If I'm Ben Johnson, I'm walking into that office in the front room like that, none of that shit is my fault. I told y'all he might be good, he might not be. I tried to make him better, he sucked. Let's take another quarterback.
That's not how it's gonna work, bro. He's there for 4 years. No matter how this year turns out, he's there for 4 years, bro. The worst case scenario is they won't pick up his option. He's there for 4 years regardless. Ben Johnson has to make it work. Like, that's what it is, bro.
That's facts. Hold on, Sheldon. Lou is the worst person to have in a damn negotiation. He over here saying goofy shit. My thing is this. Ben Johnson got to make – he has to prove – at least I think Caleb as a first overall pick is going to get many chances in this league just because of that title alone. So that's why I'm saying this is on Ben Johnson, because he went out goofy, and if he come in here goofy, he goofy. That's all I'm trying to say.
Nick, I would kind of agree with you, but the league is looking at him like he's that guy. That's how he's looked upon.
They ain't looking at that last game.
They're just looking at that team as a whole and all that they've done over this time. All that is on his back. They don't look at Campbell for that. They look at him. Like, he's the mastermind behind that success that team
I know. That's
had.
What I'm saying, and I don't think that's true.
Yeah. Wait, hold on. So you gave Dan Campbell all that flack, and then now you're going to say that the offense wasn't because of Ben Johnson?
I'm saying, since when have we ever given a coordinator more respect than a head coach?
First of all, we know that Dan Campbell.
What was the guy? Schottenheimer? Kyle Shanahan was one, right?
Yeah, Kyle Shanahan was one.
There was the coordinator Brady had. I mean, not Brady had, but Belichick had.
We blame Kyle Shanahan more than we blame Dan Quinn.
But that wasn't what your question was, though.
That's why I said, who do we praise as a coordinator more than we praise as a head coach?
Yeah, we praise Kyle Shanahan more than
we praise more as a coordinator than Dan Quinn. Coach.
Right.
That's why he got the blame.
Exactly. Nick, it has happened in the past, and at the end of the day, there's certain type of archetypes of head coach, right? Your favorite head coach out there in Pittsburgh, he's this type of head coach. He's a CEO type of head coach, right? Where he delegates. What's the Harbaugh that's in LA right now? I always get him confused.
John
Harbaugh is also a delegate type of head coach. Hey, I need my coordinator. I need everybody to do their job, and I'll manage everything. That's
Vic,
what Dan Campbell
Vic Fangio is. Gets more credit than Nick Sirianni for
100%.
Nick Sirianni don't deserve no credit.
All right. anyway.
Yeah, y'all naming the bottom of the barrel. Right.
We're answering the question.
But you gave me two. Let me finish. I said you gave me two goofy ass answers, but I'll take it, I guess. I'm just saying, on average, we are always giving more credit to the head coach than the coordinator. And until the coordinator succeeds, then it wasn't until Kyle Shanahan was actually doing shit with the 49ers. We're like, oh, he was the real engine behind that Falcon shit. Granted, you could give him credit early, but still, it solidified it.
No, that's not. That's not true either, Nick. It just depends on what, like, who leads the team. Like, if your heavy offense and your offense is the primary force of your winning, then you lean on that team. Like, you lean on that part of the team. Like, that's written as the coordinator. Like, that's just how it goes. It's not always that. And that's why the examples they gave, they're leaning on basically whatever is the driving force of that win. Like, what was the driving force for the Eagles last year? Like, it was the defense for the most part. Like, yeah,
it was the offense, bro. Don't do it. The offensive line and the running back.
Offensive line is not the same. The offensive line is not the same as saying the offensive unit.
That is offense. What are you talking about?
It's not the same thing.
As a coaching unit, you're not looking at just the offensive. You're looking at the defense as a coaching unit, and that's why
it was the whole offense. You had AJ Brown. You had fucking Devontae Smith. You had Saquon Barkley, and you had that offense. That's the whole fucking offense.
It was Saquon.
No bullshit.
It was O-line and Saquon.
They didn't have a quarterback that could do enough to make.
So what was the running back? They didn't have a great running back. They had one of the greatest running back. Right. Yeah, one of the greatest.
And one of the greatest offensive lines.
Exactly. That's the whole offense,
and
bro.
And a mid quarterback.
What about the receivers? they have an A-plus plethora of receivers.
All right. Yeah. Hey, Lou, what happened to Eberflus?
That's how a mid quarterback wins Super Bowls.
Lou, what happened to Eberflus? He was a horrible coach. What happened to him?
Yep. Moving on, man. We'll get into our positional rankings right after this quick break.
If you are a fan of hip hop and love unfiltered discussions on the culture, check out Dead in Hip Hop. From album reviews to hip hop debates, Dead in Hip Hop always keeps it real. Go to youtube.com/Dead in Hip Hop and search for Dead in Hip Hop or DEHH to subscribe now. Dead in Hip Hop, no politics, no BS.
Welcome back. We are continuing our NFL positional rankings list. Once again, we will go over every major position, rank the players who stood out the most to us, and discuss why we selected those individuals. Each position, except for quarterback, will be ranked 1 through 5. Quarterbacks will be ranked 1 through 10 for whatever reason, because we don't have 10, but that's neither here nor there. We are now moving on to the top 5 defensive tackles and defensive ends currently in the NFL, starting with edge rushers. Number 5.
Mm-hmm. All right. Crosby at 5 is nuts. And having Bosa on the list is even more nuts. Bosa ain't been shit last year, boy. You're on mute, Lou. That's so no one can hear your goofy ass.
Parsons at 5 is the craziest thing I've ever seen since I've decided to be a part of Dead End Sports. That's insane.
I mean, Lou, he's better than 6, Lou.
He ain't do much in last year, but yeah, having him at 5 is nuts.
I mean, I'm just going off impact. So
man's game problems with Zach Bond being 4, and you telling me Michael Parsons is the 5th
I'm going off of impact.
I know. I hate when y'all be just divisional hating.
It's not divisional hate.
It's supposed to be a neutral show.
He's one of the best players in the league.
Q, I would have been okay if you left him off because he ain't got no team right now.
Like, what is he like? Come on now. Future Patriot.
I don't care how much they paying me. I would hate to go to Dallas to New England.
He doing all this to be a Patriot. Like,
yeah. So
number 4. None of that shit.
Number 4. Watt makes 2 appearances. Spike, and he's on my list as well. Mm-mm. Crosby. Mm-mm.
No, that's Q.
I mean Q. Yeah. I can't be telling who y'all are with these damn eyes. The only one I can really point out is Nick. And
that's racist.
That's stupid racist.
We need to separate him and people.
That helps. That
helps. Sheldon and Fipo both got like distinct glasses on. Like,
that's
how is Parsons 4? I don't understand how he outside.
He's going off of
impact. It is both from the Eagles fans.
He's going off impact.
Oh, dude. My goodness.
Look at my top 3.
Who would lead the wins? Like, does it lead the wins?
Why is Bosa on y'all list?
Brad,
what did he do?
Come on, man. Been to the Super Bowl.
Last year?
We going off reputation and impact.
Lou, how many playoff sacks Parsons got?
How many playoff sacks? Nigga, who did you pick last? What was your last pick?
He ain't saying
how many playoff sacks Zach Bond got? Nigga? All
right. Number 3.
Oh, boy.
Bosa at 3 is nuts.
It shouldn't be. It should not be crazy.
You really got a thing out for Bosa, bro.
Because it don't make sense. Like, I'm asking.
He shouldn't be 3. He definitely shouldn't be 3. There's no reason.
He raises his hand too.
Hey, Shelton, it's not even just that. It's more of like, what did he do last season that he was like, I'm impressed. He's top 3. Exactly, Lou.
Well, shit, Aiden Hutchinson was on the list, and he got hurt in what, week 6?
He led the league in sacks before he got hurt. He was on pace to set the record.
Look, I'm just saying.
Where he ended up.
Hey, Lou, before he got hurt, ended a lot of careers.
Nick Bosa defense and offense was on IR last year and still had Brock Purdy in games with situations to win it, and he just couldn't. So that's why I give him top 3.
And he was 5. He was on the edge. You know, if Aiden Hutchinson finished the season, maybe he would have been on the list.
Yeah, it ain't his fault.
Who is y'all number 1?
It ain't his fault that he got hurt.
No.
Right. Parsons, Myles Garrett, Watt, Parsons again, Watt,
Lou,
and Crosby.
Lou, slap yourself, because if you got this nigga at number 1, that's
you already egregious. Know.
That's you already you know. Slap yourself,
Lou, that's the most egregious thing.
Because you know why he not number 1, Lou? Because he's still waiting to get paid. Yet the nigga who was number 1 wrote a hand letter to the city saying, fuck y'all, I'm out. And they said, we ain't going to let your ass go, nigga. Hey, we'll get you 3 pounds with you.
I know Jerry Jones is in Cleveland. That's why.
Parsons is not good enough to leave his city. Jerry Jones will let his ass go if it came down to it. Cleveland cannot afford to lose Myles Garrett. That's how good he is. Slap yourself for putting him at number 2.
Well, Myles Garrett should have been number 1 on everybody's list.
A lot of Myles Garrett, right?
Should have been number one on everybody's list. Luke but no. The homers have.
I don't see how.
You don't see how?
No.
Has he won a defensive player of the year?
Who?
Exactly. Did you ever announce that?
He said, we don't know.
Man, this nigga, ow, all Michael of a sudden.
He's the best edge rusher in the league. Y'all know that. When he played 16 games.
He is not, because we literally have told you he's not.
Right.
He's the best edge rusher in the league, man.
Nah. Oh, yeah. Nah. Look, he has weaknesses in his game. And obviously, I have Michael Parsons at number two. Michael Parsons, he has weaknesses in his game. Myles Garrett has zero weakness in his game. He could power rush. He could speed rush. You could put him. He could play him inside, outside. He could play the pass. He could play the run. He has zero weakness in his game. Zero. Michael Parsons is I think one of the most freakishly athletic edge rushers, but he still has weaknesses in his game. He's not better than Myles Garrett.
What's the weakness in his game?
Micah?
Yes.
Motor.
He played for the Cowboys.
Let's just say this.
I don't even know one person on the Saints team.
But like, I have nothing to hate on the Cowboys for. Like, if the Cowboys were actually, I really don't. If
your background says it all, like, come on, like, I have nothing to say that I hate about nothing. The Cowboys. But you got an Eagles background.
I have nothing to hate on. There's nothing to hate on. There's no winning happening for me to hate on. Legitimately, like, you know what I'm saying? Like, right, it's like me hating on a crack house. Like, nigga, like, it's just like I can't hate on you. So what I'm saying is, there's been so many games where I've been waiting for Micah to leap off the screen, and it's easy to double team him. He has no counters for getting doubled. And there's been multiple games where he's been silent, where I'm just like, okay, these four other guys, I don't ever see a game, or at least multiple games in a row, where they've been shut down. And I just can't say that for Michael Parsons. And to me, the attitude issues lead into that. And I get it. Jerry is on some bullshit, but nigga, Crosby, Garrett, you know what I'm saying? Them guys show up every fucking week, and you can't like just say that. Oh, well, we will get a week off from these guys. Like, fuck no. Like, every week, it's pressure every week.
Micah's weaker in the run game support. He got to get better
for sure.
That's fair. Yeah. I get it.
I fuck with
it. We don't give a damn what y'all say.
I knew he had to move on, so I ain't
dang, Spike, it looks like you were the only one that had Hutchinson on your list, huh?
I don't know why.
You got a nigga with one leg.
What Hutchinson did last season and y'all not giving him any acknowledgement is crazy.
Yeah,
what he'll be on next year's list if he's healthy.
If he had finished this season healthy, he would have been number one.
What's in that cup, Lou?
All right, what's that? Defensive tackles.
That's all
right, man. Let's get into it. Top NFL defensive lineman. Boom, number five, Quinnen Williams. We got Hayward's on here. Jeffrey Simmons. Who's that Williams guy?
Leonard Williams.
Yeah, that's right. Man. Okay. All
right. Oh, Leonard Williams, he was Seattle. That's when he was with the Giants.
Yeah, that's right. That's the wrong clip. Yeah, he was Seattle.
No, mine upside down.
What's upside down?
What? Yeah, because
that's your number one?
That's the Lawrence. Oh, I say Williams, okay. But it's the Lawrence. Geez.
All right, man. You all right?
the pitch ain't the right way.
Oh, you
had to. Nick, you got a Titan on your list?
What's funny is me and Ken laughing at two different things.
Y'all think it's stupid.
You got a Tennessee Titan on your list?
Bro, Simmons is a dog, bro. I watched that Bengals.
He is a dog. He's a dog.
He's top five. Legit.
He's five.
All right, go ahead. That's crazy. That's what I'm saying. Don't let the whole quarterback situation with the Titans really fucked up a good defense. Like, I'm not saying it's a great defense, but it was a good defense.
Nah,
they had Caleb Williams. Caleb Williams was looking like dog shit.
He is top five.
Okay.
I mean, I guess.
That sounds cool.
All right. Simmons, we got Brown, Derrick Brown. Williams is in the top four for Nick, FIFO, and Shelton. And Spike showing some still in love with Craig Hayward.
That's cute.
Damn, bro.
Damn, Ken, all the niggas don't look alike. That's all I'm trying to say.
Spike is next to you, bro.
Yeah. They all say slanted the same.
I just remember I'm the sixth man.
We moving around.
He saw two brown skinned niggas.
Hey, we not that order on kids.
I know that ain't Nick. I know it ain't FIFO. It ain't me. And he ain't got glasses. So it ain't Shelton.
Hey, Ken, just remember, I'm sixth, so I'm at the end. Like, okay. Sorry. I mean, y'all are starting lineup.
Sorry. Oh, man.
My bad.
Lou Williams shit.
You know Q tall, so you just see his chin on his.
Yeah.
All right, number three, Dustin Lawrence. We got Quentin Williams for Spike. Jalen Carter. Chris Jones and Destin Lawrence.
You have Chris Jones at three, Sheldon.
Chris Jones, that's crazy.
I'm gonna tell you to slap yourself who you got at two and number one.
Nah,
because I know Chris Jones. I know he being a homer. Y'all just talked about.
Nah.
You have Jalen Carter number one.
You being a homer because he got Jalen Carter ahead of Chris Jones, and that's great.
The top three are interchangeable, bro.
That's stupid, bro.
The top three are interchangeable.
Did you see what they did to Chris Jones in Super Bowl?
Chris Jones is number one.
Nothing. He didn't do nothing. Keep going. There we go. Jalen Carter second. Destin Lawrence is on here as well. And Chris Jones. Nick, bro, what are you talking about? You got Chris Jones
at two. Yeah. He's the second best D tackle in the league.
Who you got at number one, bro?
You already know who I gotta know.
He's the third best tackle in the league.
He got a number one.
Nah.
Christian Wilkins is number one.
Who? No, I know. you about to see. Hey, you know what I'm saying?
No, he's not next to Lawrence.
Hey, pause. Sexy Dexy, nigga.
He is.
That's what they call him, bro. He's the best D tackle in the league, bro. He's the only reason why the Giants, before they got this defensive line. And if you really want to watch it, watch that Steelers game. Last season, watch that Steelers game. You will see the Giants was in that game because of that damn defense. And he leads that defensive line.
No, they were in that game because of Russell Wilson's first game back. But go ahead.
That wasn't his first game back?
Yes, it was.
Either way.
I'm sorry, second game back.
Either way, the Giants was actually in that game for the most part until Daniel Jones fucked up. But you could say that about most Giants games. But that defensive line, he's the heart and soul of that defensive line.
Yeah, he is, and he's a monster. Lawrence, Chris Jones. To be honest, Lawrence, Chris Jones, and Jalen Carter all deserve.
You can stop at the two.
I mean,
it was your turn.
Any given week, they all look like they.
Yeah, you. Jalen Carter is the most double team football player in the league. So
no, he's not.
Who's more? Who gets more damage than Jalen Carter?
I'm just saying, you ain't got no stats to back up what you just said because I know you just talking shit.
He just made it up because he watched Eagles games. Crazy.
Yo, you're just saying shit.
Google it.
Christ.
However,
Jalen Carter every week he making plays so.
Unlike some people, we'll see this season. He got tape on the NFC Championship game.
The interesting thing about this list is the Giants is gonna have a hell of a defensive line.
This is about to be old school smash mouth football.
They can score some points, their defensive line gonna be scared.
Yo, it's gonna be nuts when they pick seventh, bro. It's gonna be fucking crazy.
They do have the hardest schedule in the league.
It's gonna be insane, bro.
And listen, I'm gonna try to.
Who you want, Nick? Who you want like top five this year?
What you mean?
who you want in the draft?
Manny, Arch.
Who you want in the draft?
You want Arch?
Them boys gonna roll with Jackson Dart. What you talk about?
Arch. I was about to say, I already know why you're talking about quarterbacks because we already got one. We got a Dart.
If y'all can get Arch, y'all gonna take Arch.
We're not gonna have the number one pick.
I shouldn't say we.
Because the Bengals, we ain't doing it.
Let's move on.
You may have.
Hey, so you, so Nick, you a Giants fan because you can't root for defense on the Bengals, so you pick the Giants to root for defense on them.
Yeah, exactly.
Having two teams.
If you put the two teams together, he'd be.
I told y'all if the Giants and the Bengals met in the Super Bowl, I'm going for the Bengals. But I do. I root for the Giants. Hey Lou, I told you this. I root for the Giants because of what they did to Tom Brady.
Next thing.
What they did to Tom Brady is the reason why I'll always be a Giants fan.
You can't have Eli,
Eli is my goat.
You can't have two teams.
This childish ass shit. Go ahead, man.
Yeah, you can't have two teams. This, like, you just can't do that. I'm sorry. You're an adult. You like the dude playing 37-year-old football with pads.
Yo, that. Like,
you that nigga. You that nigga.
Yo,
coming
you the, way you that ball ain't got.
The same way that I look at the nigga to tell me I play tackle football at 37 is the same nigga be like, oh, I got two NFL teams.
Hey,
like,
Sean, I'm laughing because a nigga who wants to play pickleball is talking down to me. Fuck out of here. Let's go on to the next topic, kid. Yo,
oh is, that, hey, is this nigga really playing pickleball?
Bro.
Not yet, but we'll be back with conversation about the AFC South right after this quick break.
If you're looking for real conversations and motivations to be your best, then you have to check out Another Week in the Books. Another Week in the Books with Spike, Lou, and Rich is your go-to podcast for growth and community. Plenty of dope conversations take place week to week as they inspire each other to be better through conversations. Another Week in the Books, wherever you get your podcast.
Welcome back. The AFC South is a division with a lot of questions for every team. The two headline teams in the division are the Houston Texans and the Jacksonville Jaguars, both of which have high expectations for a turnaround season after disappointing campaigns last year. Are the Texans a lock to win the division? And will Trevor Lawrence have a bounce back season similar to his 2022 performance when he won the division and reached the second round of the playoffs? People forget he did that.
I'm going to say that it doesn't matter based on the fact that his coach in his press conference said, Duval. No, that is not. That is
that's
not.
That's the same coach.
That is not.
They killed me too.
That is not it. That is not it.
He said it like a creep.
Yeah, he was like, Duval. He looked like, he should be casting Dexter. That nigga is locked in.
Like Timmy on a South Park.
That nigga is on the Epstein list. Like, I don't know.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. He said it like he's a Duval Dickler.
Yeah, like, you're for real. That's crazy. And honestly, CJ Stroud could throw for fucking 20 interceptions. I'm picking the Texans to win that division. Like, it don't matter. So, I think the injuries to Tank Dell and Nico Collins are a little bit concerning, if I'm not mistaken. They're both still coming back, not 100%. But I just trust D'Amico Ryans and what they got going on more. And plus, the rest of the division is utter cheeks. So, yeah, I got the Texans.
Same here. That division is trash. I think that what the Texans, as far as the head coach, quarterback, the defense, they are going to be able to win 9 games, and that's probably what it takes to win that division. So they're going to be good. I think they'll still be able to get in what they need to get in as far as a trajectory of being a good team.
Nico Collins is going to continue to assert himself and help CJ to grow even more. I think Nico's going to have a really, really good year, especially if he can stay healthy. That's the biggest thing. Plus, I like the running game. Nick Chubb looks like his old self out there as far as his power and ability to run the football. So I think that's going to help them even more. And like I said, the division is kind of weak. That Tennessee team, I think they're going to surprise some people, but not enough to win the division. They're not.
Yeah. I don't think the Titans have enough horsepower. But, yeah, I think this is the Texans' division to lose. They have the best quarterback in the division. Typically, when you have the best quarterback, that means that you should win the division. I don't think the Jacksonville Jaguars are going to be ass. I think they probably make the wild card as well. But I think the Texans win the division.
Yeah, I could see wild card.
I will say this about the division. I'll just break it down by each team. The Colts, are just a wasteland.
Dumpster fire.
Daniel Jones is your starter.
Yeah, I don't even know why they're even a franchise at this point. But there's that. The Titans, hey, I'm going to say this, bro.
Don't
they call me the QB Whisperer, QB.
Don't skip over this.
Hey, mute his mic.
I'm not there yet. I'm just saying this. I would not be surprised if somebody says, bro, the Titans better than I thought. I think the Titans gonna be better.
I thought they was gonna win two games and they won five. Yo, that's just crazy.
I think they can arguably be second in this division.
What does that mean? Like being second?
That's six division. Games. That's six wins, bro. That's a good improvement.
That's a good improvement for picking number one overall. But my thing is like it's between the Jaguars and the Texans. Because to me, the Jaguars have the best overall team. Because if you go, like, you see all them first-round picks they got on that team, it's like...
Especially defensively.
Especially defensively. Like, if you have a good coach, or even maybe above something a little bit above average, that team should win 8 games at least, just off of competency.
Did they change ownership?
I'm just saying, if we're just going off of roster talent, I know that's only certain people give a fuck about that. I think the Jaguars can do something, but I don't know about that quarterback. But to me, it's the opposite with the Texans. It's like, I understand who the quarterback is, but that roster, outside of a couple defensive players, ain't shit.
The Jacksonville Jaguars are the NFL Sacramento Kings. It don't matter until they sell that ownership. It's just not going to work. I'm sorry. I don't care what they will default
that the Texans will win the division because they got the quarterback and the head coach. No other team in the division can say that.
Yeah,
but
so you agree with all of us?
I'm just saying that. I don't think this division is locked up. I'm just saying if I had to bet, I would bet on the Titans.
The Texans are going.
Is this Trevor Lawrence last season as a Jacksonville Jaguar?
No, they paid him too much.
Nah, he's not going nowhere. He a blonde hair, blue eyed white boy.
Every franchise they have. They paid him like
just this past season.
Yeah, he got his money.
I don't know.
Look, I'll put it to you like this: with Jacksonville, they'll get another head coach before they get rid of Trevor Lawrence.
But this
is the final stretch before he proves himself to be that franchise QB for real.
I wonder what he's going to do with the next head coach. That's what's about to happen.
We just did this with Caleb Williams, and this is why I agree with Nick, because it's like how many coaches like are we gonna give Trevor Lawrence before we just say that he's okay, like he's solid. Like,
This is third. Urban Meyer don't count.
To me, if
Eberflus counts.
That's what exactly. I'm saying. If we're going to do that for Caleb and be like, yo, show me something, or Justin Fields, show me something, then show me something. And he didn't show me shit. So this is going on 3-4, and I'm just like, all right, bro, how many,
right?
Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, how many marriages can she be crazy before, like, nigga?
It's you.
Yeah, it's you.
All right. Well, we'll leave it there. Let's jump into our worst of the week.
Come on.
DG, Dylan Gabriel. He played relatively well until 8 of 9, you know, to start the game. And then he had a pick six. And then he had a fumble. It's preseason, so... I don't really care about all that. What I do care about, though, is what he said in the post-game conference when he mentioned entertainers and being a competitor. While I don't necessarily think he intended it in the way that a lot of Shadur supporters are interpreting it to be, I do think that just terrible word choice, because when he's in the position that he's in, everything he says, everything he does will be heavily scrutinized.
Yes.
Because he is the guy that roster probably likes the least. Most of the black players, and I don't know about any of the other ones, but from what I've seen, they all really mess with Shadur. And when you come out and say something that could be intended as a shot at him, then that's not going to go over well, especially if this guy gets cut and you're left on the roster. That could be an issue. So whether he intended to say it, whether he didn't, it don't matter. The fact that what only matters is that the words were said. And he tried to clean it up, but the damage was already done. And, you know, I don't know what, because I had YouTube on, and Nightcap just kind of was one of the autoplays. And Shannon not trying to hear it. He thinks this definitely was a shot at him. But I like what Chad said. What Ocho said is that he just didn't have media training. So Ocho took a more biased, more neutral approach to it. But either way it go, man. Dylan, DG, you got to be careful with what you say, bro. Because, hey, man, them boys, yeah, they not messing with you on that team. Man.
No.
Yeah. First of all, nobody in their right mind should believe that this is not a swipe at Shador. Like, I'm not buying that. Oh, that's just like some innocuous comment.
It don't make sense.
It doesn't make sense because what else could you be talking about? Like, who else are you referring to? Like, what, y'all got some Harlem Globetrotters on the team? Well, you got some AFL guy who's getting a lot of hype? No, you have Shador Sanders, who everyone's hyping up. And I'm going to be real with you. I don't have an issue with it if he was saying that's what I was doing. Like, yo, like, stand on it, though. Don't like, pussyfoot around and be like, oh, yeah, no, let me clarify. No, like, and of course he's not going to do this, but it's like I miss a certain level of, like, dog in certain athletes to be like, yeah, bro, no, like, this is a competition. I mean, I'm here to compete. Some people are here to, you know what I'm saying, like, just boost their brand and shit is essentially what he said. And I'm here to be a competitor. Stand on it. But, you know, I get that for the sake of the team and the continuity, you can't come at another guy in your QB room. But I respect it. If you feel like Shador is just an entertainer and he's just a clown, then it's like, all right, bro. Like, you know, the same way that I think Shador should look at you, like, nigga, I'm better than you. And you ain't done shit in college anyway. You know what I'm saying? So I'm all for it. Just stand on what you're saying.
Right.
But, yeah. Well, he's learning. Yeah, shit, he's learning. You know, that's the third turnover he had, and that was in the media. So, I'd be no comment. So, anyway, yeah, DG, that's who I have for my worst of the week because boy, he set off a firestorm.
Mm-hmm.
That's the show. Let's jump into some super chats that we got. Right. And they, I don't know why the system will show them very weird. So, something's going on the back end with the system we're using. But anyway, Nick, you're going to keep that same energy about Ashton Chanty, bro.
I'm glad I could talk about this
How many yards did he have?
Appreciate you, Heat Check.
He had what, 33 yards? He had what, about 34 more yards than he did.
Did you see the run? Don't do that.
I'm just saying, he asked me how many yards he got. Let's answer the question. I got me. Give me Travion Henderson over Genty, bro. They picked the wrong running back.
Who is that again?
You'll see.
He's going to be good.
Well, no, I mean, where's he at?
He's at New England.
New England.
Okay. Yeah. That was the other Ohio State running back outside
there's
of
Deshaun Jenkins.
Okay, word. No, that should be good.
There's no comparison to them two, though.
Yeah.
Two totally different running backs. Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm talking about, like, who we rather have. I don't give a fuck what style you're talking about. I'm saying who you'd rather have.
Pete Carroll would rather have a Marshawn Lynch-like running back.
Okay.
Yeah, he'll value it.
And did Pete Carroll even do anything? What did Pete Carroll do when accounting for the game?
Hey, he learned from his mistakes. He learned from his mistakes.
Bro, Genty is a blue chip prospect. The dude that you're talking about in New England, he's like, oh, we glad we got him.
Don't do that, Lou. Don't do that, Lou.
No. He's a baller too.
Exactly.
He's not a baller. I'm saying he went in the second round. Genty ain't doing that.
He was top.
Genty is a blue chip.
Listen. There are two different types of running backs. Genty is what we saw against the 40. He's going to run over you. He could run around you after he ran over you. Where the buddy in New England, he's a do-it-all back. He could run.
Right.
He could catch. He could block.
I'm not taking him with whatever first pick in the first round draft, though. That's all I'm saying.
I just think it depends on the identity of your team and Genty round. Fits so what the Raiders want to do.
Who's going to have a better year, Omarion Hampton, Travion Henderson, or Genty? Who's going to have
I think Omarion Hampton.
Omarion has – well, I don't know. That offensive line, bro, they lost Slater, bro.
Yeah. Isn't Omarion Hampton in Denver?
Chargers. He's with the Chargers.
These are the Chargers. Who's the running back that Denver took?
The one out of Central Florida. He good.
Yes, too. Harvey.
I think New England is going to have the best year out of running back.
You think so?
Yeah.
Yes. Absolutely.
Because to me,
I think Harvey might.
I also think that Genty wasn't drafted into a situation that he was drafted into. So,
I think Harvey is probably going to have the best one. Because Sean Payton, and we've seen what Sean Payton had. See, why you hate on Sean Payton?
Bro, go for the show.
Yes, you are. Hey, Nick, fix your body language, guy.
I'm just saying.
It's bad for the podcast.
All I got is two things. One, Sean Payton ain't shit. And two,
Sean Payton better than Zach, whatever his name is over there.
Does that mean anything to anybody? No, it doesn't.
They would have won that championship if they would have had Sean Payton.
And if we were drinking what Lou had, you would be on the same level. But my thing is this. And number two is, no, Lou, Genty isn't a blue chip. He just played on the blue field. Is. We all know what the hell Genty is. Because when they counted kid, when we saw them games, it took them.
He had no O-line.
It took him 100
no O-line. Best running back. He's the best running back out of his class.
It took him 100 attempts to get 100 yards.
We're doing a lot talking about the Patriots, Saints, and Raiders right now. But you know, we're going to see.
We will.
We're talking about the Saints.
That's what we're here for, Q.
The Saints? No, like, we are not here to talk about the Saints.
That is Doc's job.
Tweets open doors. What would it take for the top four quarterbacks to fall down the list after next year? Would CJ, Jaden, Jalen, Goff winning the Super Bowl be enough to knock one down?
Oh, yeah, for Shursky. For Shursky. But I'm going to tell you right now, y'all going to have to block Sheldon. If Jalen Hurts wins the Super Bowl next year, y'all going to have to block Sheldon. This is not going to be me. This nigga, like, no, bro, like, Sheldon's going to be, how can he not be top two? How can he, and, like, you have to deal with that. But Jaden Daniels, I feel like if he has a historic season, you could make case for top five. Like, I feel like he could knock Stroud down even more. I feel like Jordan Love would go down more, and I feel like other guys who are, you know, on the list, like, on the list would be knocked down. But, nah, Jalen is probably the only one that I think with a Super Bowl win could contest for a top five, like undisputed.
Yeah, you got it. Burrow.
Ain't nobody passing Burrow, Jackson. Mahomes,
we can't keep Allen. We can't keep this Burrow thing up though.
Like, see, we can't keep doing the whole like these guys are solidified. They're that forever. Good. Burrow's a great quarterback.
It's season to season. So when we go into this next season, and if one of those quarterbacks happens to
win, how many times in the last 3 years Burrow made the playoffs?
If one of those quarterbacks happen to win the Super Bowl, it's just because they have a better football team. They're not better quarterbacks than any of the four. The top four are the four.
That's cap.
Ain't nobody close to them.
If you ain't making the playoffs, bro, I can't keep putting you up there.
Ain't nobody close to Burrow, Mahomes, Jackson, and Al
Josh
in the regular season, you mean?
That's just cap.
Period.
To me,
it's got to be just like a regular season, Lou.
It's cap. No, we can't keep doing this, bro. If the objective is to get in this car and get to a certain destination at a certain time, I don't want to hear about, this nigga's the prettiest driver. This nigga, I don't give a fuck if the other driver broke down one time, had to go get gas. If that nigga got to the destination before the prettier driver, nigga, I don't hear that shit anymore.
Yes.
And if we keep doing this race and the fucking less, finesse driver keeps winning and getting ahead of this other guy, I don't hear about style points no more. I want to hear about
my thing is,
he said real quick, what Tom Brady said is so astute. Because right.
You quoting Tom Brady on this program, yes. You hit Mike.
I'm quoting the greatest QB ever. So
my problem Patty. Is, yeah, I'm about to say that's, you know, it's Patty, nigga.
Patrick Mahomes has Patty last year, so we not going off of what last year, right? So at the end of the day,
Tom Brady lost to Nick Foles, a white man bagging groceries. He lost to that motherfucker. Don't ever excuse that. Yeah, Patty lost to the greatest football team he didn't ever seen in the modern day era. Fuck
out. You talking about seven versus how many? All right. Anyway, but
lost to Brady.
But like the whole point, and this is the whole point. I'm saying, like, everybody want to talk about it, but so when it comes to Tom Brady and his quote, it makes perfect sense. I don't want to hear about, oh man, I don't have no defense, I don't have this and that. Tom Brady said, we were at a point where I was making my own walkthroughs, where we were going to have a team meeting no matter what. I don't want to hear about coaches didn't do this and coaches didn't do that. I'm working with the receivers. Hey, here's what we can do the best. We're putting together our own game plans where if the coach's staff is on some bullshit or they don't understand what the fuck we got going on, we're going to have our own plays running. So all this, like, all this subterfuge and poppycock that we give into fucking, you know what I'm saying, Joe Burrow and all these other QBs who are coming up short, I don't want to hear that anymore if some of these guys start to literally, win.
First of all, ain't nobody popping cock around here. For the record.
Yo, that is crazy.
Q, what is you doing out there in Philly, my boy?
That's a word. You know what I'm saying? It's called Rick Amaro.
That word is called pause. That's what that word is called.
Anyway.
My thing is this, though. It's like, I hear what y'all saying, because what y'all saying is speaking facts. Like, why is the media or whoever else keep elevating a quarterback when he hasn't won on a level anywhere close to the other people that are above him right now based off of wins? My thing is, who are you replacing him with that you could justifiably say this quarterback is better than him? That's the only thing that I have to ask. Because we all watch the games, and it's mostly this whole shit is about eye test. We just back up stats to try to prove our points, but it's really eye test. Like, we know who are the four best quarterbacks in this league when we watch these football games. And if you're telling me that, unless CJ Stroud or Jaden Daniels and not Jalen Hurts, because I think he's in that top five as well. But to me, it's like, unless we see them do something again extraordinary, I don't see how you could say he's better than Joe Burrow.
Can you drop Joe Burrow if they don't make the playoffs this year, Nick?
No,
because that's what I'm saying. Like, who am I uplifting?
He's better at playing the position than everybody.
How are you better at playing the position when you're not doing what the ultimate goal is? And it's
seen him in the preseason game being better at playing in the preseason.
He was throwing darts.
I understand. It looks pretty.
You speaking from a friend?
I saw him running circles in the preseason game.
If you look at Joe Burrow, you see him playing quarterback position. There's no way that there's four guys that are better than him.
Hey, check this out. Hey, so Spike.
I want to hear this nigga.
It's when you think about quarterbacks, like, is Brady's better than Peyton, right?
Yes. Yes.
You ain't got to think about that, Lou.
Fuck yes. What are we talking about?
Like, he's ranked higher. He's technically ranked higher, right?
Brady's ranked higher. He's ranked higher, yeah.
But who you think is, like, when people talk about quarterback, they usually say Peyton is more cerebral. He knew what to do at the line. He could make every throw. Like, they talk about that. Even with Dan Marino. Dan Marino's one of the – they always say Dan Marino threw one of the prettiest balls ever. But he's not ranked higher than a lot of niggas with one ring. You have to win, bro. Like, eventually, all that talent don't mean shit. Aaron Rodgers is one of the most talented quarterbacks. Let him speak.
People
still respect him as one of the top quarterbacks.
Again, you can respect them, but being ranked higher than a lot of people who they have talent and they win matters. Because Aaron Rodgers has a lot of talent.
But you don't make no sense.
I'm making is, you look at someone like Jalen Hurts and you compare him to someone who plays quarterback actually good. You can't put him in the same category
as someone that plays quarterback.
And Jaylen,
he was on the stack team.
And y'all keep on bringing up the point. Y'all keep on bringing up the point about winning. There's only two quarterbacks in this era currently winning, and that's Jalen Hurts and Patty Mahomes. Everybody else who y'all say is better than this nigga is like, no, they not winning shit either. Some of them can't even make it to the fucking Super Bowl.
But no, I ain't gonna let you do that because it ain't, because even with the other quarterbacks you're talking about, at least they winning MVPs and making it to the playoffs. Joe Burrow, on the other hand, this nigga ain't winning shit. He went to one Super Bowl.
He would have won the MVP last year.
If he misses the playoffs again, because y'all hold quarterbacks.
That's two different arguments. But those are two different arguments that you're making. That's the thing. Like, people be in their feelings. People be in their feelings because they don't like the fact that we talk about four quarterbacks when normally we just talk about top three.
That's because
the reason why Joe Burrow gets talked about is because he's guaranteed at least the fourth quarter best quarterback in the league. And people are gonna say, how can he be fourth best when he's missed the playoffs twice? And it's like, do you watch the games? That's all it is, because there's no reason why you should have bass in your voice when you are talking about Joe Burrow can be a top four player in this league, especially at the quarterback position, because you watch these games, Jalen. You would trade everybody on the Saints right now just for Joe Burrow for a week.
But what is that?
But the difference is it means he's good at playing.
It's like,
well, hold on. That's the difference. The difference, you're talking to me as a person who I know my team sucks, but I'm also a person that has a franchise that has a top 10 quarterback and like all time, like Drew Brees. What? But Drew Brees is a top 10 quarterback. Don't sit there and argue with me.
All time,
Drew Brees
is
a top 10. Yes, he is.
You got to have him up there.
We're going to do this.
Does he have the most yards ever?
Let this man talk.
That's my point, Sheldon. My point is, Drew Brees has so many, like, he has so many stats and records and shit, but niggas be like, he ain't win this, he ain't win that. He has sorry defenses most of his career. But niggas, they hold that against him. So this argument that y'all are making that, oh, the talent, and nigga, you got to win too. And these other niggas y'all talking about, they're not winning.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. We're all saying the same thing essentially. I'm just making sure that we understand the question should be who's better than him, not should he not be in the top four.
No, because I'm going back because, to what you said about because, Joe Burrow. Because you said Joe Burrow can't fall out if he doesn't make it to the playoffs.
No, that's the thing.
You're just still relying on the talent. The nigga's not winning.
No, I'm saying
he's living off one Super Bowl appearance. He's not winning.
I'm saying if we're gonna talk about context, if he has the same exact season like he did last year, let's just say they don't make the playoffs, but he has the numbers that he has and he did what he did on his part to put points on the board, which is the quarterback's job, to manage the offense, which is the quarterback job, to play at a high level is what elite quarterback job is to do. If he does that again, I understand why people will say like he shouldn't be shit. But it's hard for me to say that there's four other quarterbacks better than him when he's doing that.
So he's just if, could, and would, man. Like, you know what I mean?
Like, no, I'm saying if it's just like Baloo was saying, like if we want to cut it down instead of there's four quarterbacks and everybody else instead of just say three, then I feel like no one's really having this argument because if we're only talking about Josh Allen, Lamar Jackson, and Patty all the time, then no one's thinking about Joe Burrow. But the fact that he's so good, we have to talk about
it. The context is that Joe Burrow he got hurt the first year, but Joe Burrow won't doing shit until he got weapons either. So yeah. everyone needs
he got.
He won't doing shit so, until he got weapons
dumb.
Either.
It's fact. He got all the weapons.
It's fact.
He got all. Jalen Hurts got all the weapons.
He's won.
Y'all trying to keep telling
me he's won.
The top 10 QB.
He's
got all the weapons.
He wins with him.
All the weapons. I respect Joe Burrow because of this and this alone. All the weapons that y'all keep on talking about are drafted. None of them are free agent. The Bengals drafted those weapons. T. Higgins was a second-round pick. Everybody in the league passed on him once. And the Bengals was like, okay, we'll just pick him up. So when people talk about the weapons that Joe Burrow has, it's literally those two guys, and then there's nobody else. Because y'all see the defense, and we got free and Trey Higginson off of free agency. But when we talk about weapons, those are drafted. The Eagles' weapons are all hand-picked best players off of other teams except for Devontae. So to me, it's like I don't really give a fuck about. I don't respect the same way level when y'all talk about weapons.
No.
When it comes to a team,
regardless, we
that sounds stupid. You mad that niggas did their job?
I'm not. I'm not giving.
He's saying that because his team won't pay nobody, so nobody's gonna.
No, they got paid.
No, that against niggas.
Everybody got paid.
I think the point to what Nick is saying to a certain degree is, you're right, Jalen, they did do the job, and they did a good job at it. And because of the good job that they did, the team managed to win, and ultimately they managed to win the Super Bowl. And you have another organization that are not doing a good job, and that's being carried by one guy to get close to the playoffs. So if you were to cross those over, then who knows what could happen. In other words, who knows what could happen if the Bengals had an organization that did a good job and maximized everything that Burrow is able to do.
But you can say that about a lot of teams that have talent.
I'm just saying, if the Eagles organization didn't do as great of a job as they did, then we wouldn't be having a fucking conversation about Jalen Hurts the way we do every fucking week.
But we just
y'all pick and choose this argument. You can say the same thing about New England. What the hell are we talking about?
We just do such a coulda, shoulda, woulda with this man, Joe Burrow, and
we do.
We just don't have to do that.
There is no coulda.
There is. If CJ Stroud has a great season next year, Listen to actually understand. If CJ Stroud has a great season, by whatever metric you have in your mind, right?
I need a metric.
No, whatever metric you put in your mind for a great season, like of whatever you see in terms of stats that piques your interest, right? If he's in that ballpark, in that neighborhood, they go do a Super Bowl, and let's just say either he wins it or he loses it. It is not insane for next season when we do our rankings to be like, I have Stroud above Joe Burrow. Because he went to a recent Super Bowl. He put up good stats, mm-hmm. and he did that. It is not insane for Jalen Hurts, if he wins another Super Bowl, for me to be like, all right, so what are we doing here? What, because he does it prettier?
Weren't people trying to elevate Nick Foles? Because I just saw it in the chat. When he won a Super Bowl?
But that's just the nature of sports. We see the recency, and we go with what recently happened. But
we all saw Nick Foles for what he was. Like, why the hell are we even having this conversation about Nick Foles? Just because he won a fucking Super Bowl.
Yeah, I mean, do we mm-hmm. see? Here's the thing: do we play the game to win rings, or do we not? See, this all is
right, what I'm. Let's move on.
This is the T Mac and Kobe shit. Where T Mac,
we the boys celebrates 46 months of membership. Don't get fooled. The Bengals defense is bad.
It's not that bad.
It's terrible.
It's not that bad, Nick.
Listen, it's preseason. We getting the kinks out.
It's okay. That bad.
We'll see. Wild how quick the media tried to clean up Daniel Jones' image. He's a bad quarterback. Give Richardson a chance to start. Or maybe Richardson is not that bad.
I don't know, Ken, because to me it's just like it's similar to like the Browns situation, the QB room. It's like, I don't know what the fuck this franchise is doing. Like, why are y'all using the resources the way y'all use them? Because the decisions y'all make don't make sense with how y'all using these resources. And it's like you drafted him fourth overall, and you're not giving him no opportunity, not even giving us an explanation. Is he shitty? Is he a bad teammate? Is he like what is he showing? I don't know what he is.
I'm trying to figure it out too, but they kind of did give an explanation. I saw one of the executives say how raw he is, Paul's. But and he needs some seasoning, and they're gonna put the time into him to get him there. So I'm hoping that naming Daniel Jones the starter was the plan all along, like everybody said.
It wasn't. Yeah.
It was not the plan.
That's what they said. That's what they tried to say that when he signed, he was promised this job.
Bro, Anthony Richardson sucked in college, bro. Like Kim,
he did.
Terrible in college, and it was just off of the stature and physicality that they drafted him, and he put himself out of this organization by saying he literally took himself out the game. So you took yourself off the team. I don't think he ever recovered from talking about I'm tired. So if you tired, then we're gonna go with dumb fuck Daniel Jones.
I think that he could be greater later. But he got a lot more football play. Also, this is like Trey Lance. Like, Trey Lance got a lot more football to play before he can be good. And this is like the coaches, if they were looking for a quarterback that can perform for them right now, it wasn't going to happen. He's going to get traded a couple of times. People going to take him onto the roster. He'll be good somewhere eventually, like Geno Smith is, but it ain't soon.
Yeah, I agree because you know, what Nick was talking about earlier with Caleb Williams, right? And a lot of these younger quarterbacks, Jaden Daniels, CJ Stroud, a lot of these guys, they play so much football before they get to the NFL that they've had so many reps. And then obviously in college, they play against high level competition. Their lease is shorter to know what they are. Anthony Richardson, I just saw this post. I had to go back to it. He's younger than Shedeur Sanders. He's younger than Will Howard. He's younger than Dylan Gabriel. He's younger than Tyler Shough. He's younger than Caleb Williams. He's younger than Bo Nix. He's younger than Michael Penix. And he's played less snaps in college than almost everybody on that list. So I think it is foolish for the Colts to completely give up on him because he's so young. And to Shelton's point, he is raw. I think he's still a piece of clay that can be molded. But let's also look at the organization. Like, that organization has been shitty since Peyton left. That organization got arguably one of the greatest quarterbacks to be out of the league, and Andrew Luck. Andrew Luck came in as a baller, took a trash-ass roster, and made the playoffs the next year. And he's out the league because they couldn't protect him. So if you can't protect a quarterback, you're definitely not developing a quarterback. So to me, I think it's mutual between the organization not being able to do shit with a talent like Anthony Richardson, because let's be honest, he is a talent. I'm not saying he's going to be the greatest quarterback, but he has the physical nature that a lot of quarterbacks don't have. Super fast, big as hell, big arm. Like, you should be able to do something with that. But that organization is just not poised to extrapolate the type of talent that he is. So I think it's in their best interest at some point to move on from him. And I agree with you, Spike. I think he could be greater later under the right situation.
Who is a football player you absolutely hated growing up? I was talking with my dad and him being from Cleveland. He still hates John Elway. It's forever Brady for me.
Yeah, it's Brady for me.
Mine was Emmitt Smith.
Brady and Hines Ward.
I hate Steve Young.
I never felt that strongly about him.
The only reason I love Steve Young because he was left-handed, and I'm left-handed, so I always thought that was something.
None of that mattered to me. He used to break those runs against the Cowboys. Like, I hate Steve Young.
Yeah,
I hate it.
I think I'm just too much of a real one because, you know, I never cared about a man that much to be like, you know, no, stop like, you know what I'm
saying? Yeah, for me, growing up in Miami.
You hate Troy.
For me, growing up in Miami, I hated Vinny Testaverde, bro. Bum-ass dude that would always
That's a crazy pull. That's a crazy pull.
That Vinny is, bro. Vinny, because he was him too, Chad Petty, all these damn no-arm quarterbacks just beating the Dolphins all the damn time. That used to make me feel the type of way.
That's funny.
Yeah, Brady and Elway was on the list for a second. Then all of a sudden I started I started liking him late, I guess, when Terrell Davis got there. I really wanted him to win a ring, bro. I don't know what happened. I don't know what the term was, but yeah, I came around to him.
Karl Malone. Karl Malone.
See, I think it's just, all right, now that's for a different reason.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a
but it's reason. Still valid. Like, Karl Malone is
definitely. Yeah, but it ain't got nothing to do with his game. Like,
Bryce Young benched because he had the yips. Caleb's almost threw 4,000 yards in his rookie year with a bad OC and an O-line. Y'all need to chill.
Sweet. But, yeah, 35 in change. Hey, yeah. He wasn't that far off, man. Like I said, Nick, you said, you know, did he have moments? He had moments, dog. He just couldn't overcome the ineptitude of the organization and the O-line. I think he had weapons last season too. But that O-line, bro, like, hey.
You was the main nigga talking about this nigga about to do some shit with the weapons he got on offense, and he ain't doing goddamn thing.
If you go back,
God, I'm not going to do this again.
Hold on, Ken. If you go back 1 year ago around this time, I said, I think Caleb Williams' talent can overcome, but I would not be surprised if Matt Eberflus and that coaching staff is what holds him back. You can go back and watch the tape.
That fantasy team ranking is a C.
There we go. Thanks. That's a C. I thought it was
an S. Go on here, man.
Josh Bros. So you got Dak, Lamb. I like that combo.
That's a C plus.
I give it a B.
That's a C minus.
You better have a good backup quarterback.
That's a B minus.
Why y'all think that's a C?
That's a B minus.
Only because the
running back's not good.
Jonathan Taylor is going to be a monster this year, and Josh Jacobs is too.
I don't believe in Jonathan Taylor. I fuck with Josh Jacobs, and I like the Kittle and Garrett Wilson, but it's just that his wide receivers. I mean, Lamb is a baller, but DJ Moore. I don't know what he's going to be in that.
Spike and Nick's both smoking dirt. Nah, that shit is a B minus, bro. Like,
yeah, it is.
C plus.
DJ Moore not going to do shit.
Nah, C minus.
It depends on who the backup quarterback is, because that's not going
to
play.
The Cowboys are going to be in a lot of 37 to 38 games. So,
CeeDee Lamb is fine. Dak will be more than serviceable. I think he'll be middle of the pack.
He's going to play
Jonathan Taylor, I think the teams are going to stack the box against him. Josh Jacobs, I think, is going to score touchdowns. Kittle doesn't get a lot of yards. Kittle's an overall tight end. He blocks. He's not going to get a lot of yards.
But he's not
going to get a lot of yards. Garrett Wilson, he's playing with a running back at quarterback. I'm convinced now.
I'm convinced.
That shit looks bad.
It looks bad over there.
I think he's throwing with the wrong hand.
So he's Ben Simmons.
You're a running back.
You know, he's Ben Simmons.
I think y'all got Justin Fields fucked up.
I assure you, my brother, we do not have that man.
We're gonna be here in 9 weeks talking about the Jetsons.
We're gonna be talking about who they picking. We'll be talking about the Jetsons
because they be out of here.
Justin Fields looks so bad. My God, Glenn will make the Jets defense better, but another wasted season coming up. I'm sorry, Josh, bro.
It's bad, bro. Shout out to the Jets.
There's always a goofball team. Like, how did they make the playoffs? We didn't expect this.
It is never the Jets.
I think it's gonna be the Jets.
It is never the Jets.
Take out Denver last year. Put in Jets this year.
It's not going to be the Jets, bro.
And Josh Bros, low-key, I think you might end up winning some games, though, bro.
You got two solid
running backs, and that Dak CeeDee Lamb combo could work wonders.
I don't believe. No, it's
that Braylon Allen is nice.
Just keep us posted. And Josh Bros, again, Ken's on your mission of getting into soccer going. Absolutely awful.
Damn.
Hey, it's
soccer season too, bro. They've been playing.
Soccer's the shit, man.
I just haven't got my effort to get into it. I'm not saying it's awful, the sport's awful. PSG fans had a good year,
so we had a good year. PSG, you know what I'm saying, we ran into a bus all at the end, but I'm still team Mbappe too, so don't even get me started.
Yeah, to Lou, you just said a bunch of gibberish.
Hey, I was gonna ask him, is that the dude, one of them dudes got Swati name tattooed on his neck?
I'm not looking at his neck, but I don't know what I don't know what I'm talking about.
Like, you trying to do that shit. You know what I'm talking about. You 1,000,000% know what I'm talking different. About.
I don't really know.
Why you do that to me? That's the crazy thing, though. He know who I'm talking about. One of them soccer niggas just got Saudi name tattooed on his neck.
Hey, I forgot. I feel you. Lou said a man got dimples.
One of them famous popular soccer dudes just got the rapper Saudi name tattooed behind his ear. You know what I'm talking about. That's what's up, Lou.
I'm gonna look it up. I'm gonna do my Google Spike. You said he got like a back tattoo or something.
What kind of cologne he had? He said
he got a lower back tattoo that says shawty on it or something.
It's behind his ear. And Q know who I'm talking about too. He's trying to fight me. He know who I'm talking about. He know exactly because I know it. I know he's seen it.
Q, he said he had a lower back tattoo that says Swisher House.
Got a lower back tattoo.
I know you seen that shit.
You said shawty.
Oh, man, Lou.
I'm going to Google that, but not at work. So, all right.
Last one. Attitude aside, Joe Burrow is basically Jay Cutler. One championship game appearance, good stats, and a
bunch. He went to the Super Bowl. Why am I saying he went to two championship title games and he went to a Super Bowl? He the only nigga to go to Super Bowl in the AFC outside of
I'm not even gonna relive.
Yeah, nah.
You know what I'm saying? Let's keep a bean, Sean. I thought we all agreed what a bean was.
We do a lot of if. So if Jay Cutler didn't get a magical toe injury, they might have beat the Packers in that NFC Championship game too.
Jay Cutler, don't ever compare Joe Burrow to Jay Cutler. He's a piece of shit.
Yeah,
Jay Cutler could throw the shit out that ball though.
He had a strong arm, but he wasn't efficient at all, man. 227 touchdowns to 160 interceptions.
Yeah, no. It was
Joe Burrow is not that, bro.
Exactly. He is not that. That's what I'm saying. Niggas just want to shit on Joe Burrow because he's from Cincinnati.
No, we will continue.
It take real niggas like me to stand up for him. You know what I'm saying? Mm. And y'all know how I feel about white boys.
James so if Central. He don't make the playoffs, nigga, you're going to be disappointed.
I'll be highly disappointed.
Nick going to be at the bar whispering to somebody about something. I can't believe we ain't wicked again.
I'm gonna have to go to Columbia to heal my wounds.
So you're gonna be in the soccer game, the tattoo behind
it. Somebody in the chat knew I was talking about. They put his name in there.
No, okay.
We hope so.
No.
Yeah, I'm trying you got to that tattoo up on your wall, Lou.
It's very exciting for y'all.
Rob Costin.
Man, juicy.
Y'all funny. Rob Costin, bro. We can't be doing that. We can't be pick and choosing on who we want to criticize for having a photo op with Trump. Wayne did it, so we throwing out Wayne too.
honestly, can we stop like judging athletes based on because like nigga, like
photo ops and all that
like,
shit?
I don't give a fuck. Like this shit, man. Don't even get me started.
Damn, I cannot find your super chat, your member chat, Rob. I don't know what's going on with the system. All of these things are coming in weird with the messages.
A spike fucked the whole system up with that. That's your
It ain't been the same since.
It ain't been the same since. The whole thing had to pause. It's all pause.
It's all your fault, Lou.
Okay, I see that. Oh, yeah. Y'all can kill some time. I'm trying to.
All I'm saying is, Caleb Williams. He gonna have to prove it to me with the nail polish and the crying. Like it's not that he can't be good with the nail polish. It's just I ain't never seen it, bro.
That's the reason why. Like to me, the bar is it is that it is the nail polish. Are you great enough for me not to think about you wearing it?
Like Jeremy Cain came out on the Sixers and balled out. But he be painting his nails, so we all just let
him. Hey, listen, Dennis Rodman, one of the greatest NBA defenders and rebounders of all time. He can get away with the shit he did. He always showed up.
That's a fact. So, you know, hey, man. I just got to see it. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I don't understand. Like, who is that Dragon Knight talking about? Red Pill? Bro, look, I don't give a damn. Boys shouldn't be painting their nails, dog.
Jalen's gonna pop in. Hey.
You got conservative people coming.
If you do it, it's cool.
FIFO tape in the building.
if that's your life, like by all means, do it. Like I'm not at all. If you want to do it, do it. I'm just saying I don't think you should. Live your life.
FIFA about to start talking to us about lifestyles.
Live your life.
He said, if that's your lifestyle,
but that's you.
I don't care. I don't care.
I don't care. I'm going to just say that it can be an indicator for me of why certain things ain't working out. You know what I'm saying?
That's worse. 37. That's worse. You talking about FIFO tape?
I'm just saying that's Q tape right there.
You saying is the same thing I'm saying about the 37 and under football league. I understand you wanting to do it, but I can see why shit not working out for you.
Getting off of a 9-to-5 from H&R Block to go get fucking destroyed by some 19-year-old
full pads.
First of all, that's nuts.
You're a crazy person. I found the super chat. That the show is spiraling. I never should have said.
We'll fill some time.
Y'all. Hey,
you want to fill time? We'll fill time.
Rob Costa, Shelton and Q slowly turning into Skip Bayless.
My thing is again with the Caleb Williams thing is more of like
I'm cool
with you doing whatever you're doing. It's just that you got a ball if you're going to do things out of the norm. If you're doing things out of the norm, you got a ball for us to be like, I don't give a fuck what he do. It's like Lil Uzi. Lil Uzi can get away with all this shit because he make hits.
Look, to me, you know what, Nick? It's like if you have a coworker and that nigga don't wear shoes and he got like a weird haircut and like he just wear a different type of clothes, I'm going to look at him a little bit strange, but if he getting his work done, I'm like, well, nigga, that's what he need to get his work done. But if bad. That nigga start fucking up at work, I'm be like, it's because that nigga ain't wearing no fucking shoes.
We That's your problem. We get conservative as hell when niggas ain't doing right.
It's just like clearly you need more structure in your life,
right?
Because this all is like, nah, bro. What the fuck is he doing?
Hey, I promise you, if Caleb had Jada Daniels rookie year, FIFA would be paying his nails.
Goodness.
That's my deal.
He'd be like, that nigga balling. I'm trying to ball in my life, too.
That's not even funny.
Banner's colors were juicy to me. That shit is crazy.
Oh, my God.
But I'm just saying, man. Because Dennis Rodman needed that to be good. So all right, bro, go to Vegas. Wear like a wedding dress. Wear the all that shit.
Right, bro,
you gotta get your freak on to get off on the court. Do your thing, bro. But it's like if he was terrible, niggas would have been like, bro, all that Vegas and all that. No, that's the reason.
Because all of that shit becomes noise and a distraction.
You know what I'm saying?
And if you could block out if you need the noise to focus.
Yeah.
Then it is what it is, but and you gotta be good at what you do.
You know what I'm saying? So everybody has their thing, their practice, their rituals, and it's like, you know, for lack of a better analogy, it's like when we played sports growing up, there would be some kids who couldn't play good in their mind because they had an attachment to like smoking before games, and of course. You can't go to like the pros and you can't go to college unless you that guy and you smoking before the games. But we all know those guys who just, I got to like, you know what I'm saying? Like smoke something real quick before I get off on the court. Mm-hmm. Like, but that shit don't work if you smoke and you terrible. It's like, bro, that smoke is the reason why you ain't getting up. Like you ain't doing your thing. Mm-hmm. Mm.
Ooh, all right. Yeah, that's the end of the show, y'all. We'll catch you guys next week.
People said, man, stop putting fucking paint on your nails, boys.
He just came out of lower.
We used to fight wars and build houses.
With our bare hands.
I never did that.
Hey, look, people don't even let his son have crayons, boy. He's
out. Boy, take the pink color out.
Take this hammer and this screw and this wrench and this nail, nigga. Like, beat this shit out.
He can only color it black and white.
We ain't watching no wrestling till you 14. We ain't doing none of that shit in this house.
Oh, boy.
I feel that.
All right, man. We'll catch you guys next time. We out. Peace.
Peace.
Peace.